Blog Talk Radio.
You don't need another political uprising. We don't need another conqueror on the scene. What we need is a special word that will burn within our hearts and give us direction from above. Just one word from the Lord will move all the doubts and cause the sun to shine and give peace of mind. Speak, Lord. Thy wisdom and thy understanding, though we lack the very love you show in the sun. Lord, we walk today in thy ways, and we stand so much to gain. So give us your word, Lord.
Good afternoon. Welcome to Seeing Clearly in Dark Times. I know you want to say, are you kidding me here? Maybe I'm hearing something else. Maybe I am mistaken today, hearing the program today. No, I promised yesterday. I had a very, very emergent interruption yesterday. And so I promised that I would broadcast today. This is Brenda K. Sanders, by the way, your program host. I am glad that you've tuned in to the program this Monday afternoon. I am so proud of the listeners on the show, and I do not normally keep tabs, but I do see that there are more listeners for Seeing Clearly in Dark Times, and I thank you for that in advance. Well, this is a motivational outreach program. I always say it. I want you to know the reason why I'm here. I want you to know what the gift is that God has given me. One of them is exhortation. One of them is motivation. If I can motivate someone today, someone who's down and out, someone that feels it's time to throw in the towel, someone that feels that God is not there, you can't see God, you can't hear God, but you know God. Hello. And so with this program, I always aspire to give you the Word of God, to give you a truth that will sustain you through a time like that, when you can't hear God, when you can't see God, and when everything around you is contrary to God. And because of my personal experiences, I say this, that when you first wake up in a morning like this morning, a Monday morning, that is, to me, the worst morning. The Monday morning, and you look at yourself and you say, what am I going to do with my life today? Then that is the nature of my ministry to you, is to motivate you, to encourage you, to exhort you to do something with that Monday morning and that Monday. Work through it, pray through it, praise through it. Just go through it. Amen. Just go through that Monday morning. And when you're going through, God has in place something that will encourage you, a person, a word that will encourage you. So you got to look around. You can't be ostrich with your head in the sand. No, you got to look around. Look around. Look around your house. Look around your emails. Look in your mailbox. I already know the mailboxes can be discouraging, but look in your mailbox. Look around, answer your phone. God has an answer to meet that discouragement on that Monday morning discouragement. Amen. Well, I'm going to the word, the theme scripture for this program, which is 1 Corinthians 13:12. I'm reading it straight out of the, I think it's the New King James Version. It says, for now we see in a mirror, dimly, but then face to face. Now I know in part, but then I shall know just as I also am known. Well, the Amplified version of that text, which is augmented quite a bit, who are you known by? God. And the last part of that scripture says, I'm going to see as I am known by God. You know, last week I talked about names and names. My old episode about names was name calling, prophetic name calling. But I talked about last week also, when your name is calling you, you see, your name is demanding that you be you. And I know that seems like a bunch of spiritual mumble jumble, jarble, jarble, marble stuff, but really, in reality, it is a spiritual principle that I have seen, let me tell you, I have seen just present and act out itself in my life so many times. And so what we want to do, God has already known you. Your destiny is outlined in his mind, in his scheme of things. Your destiny is already planned out. Just like with Joseph's destiny, he dreamed it, made the mistakes of telling his brothers. You know, sometimes you can't tell people your dreams are what God has told you. I'm telling you, people, even in your own family, can be jealous and envious and want to kill you. And you're happy about what God has told you. You really heard a word from God. You knew it was from God. And you want to tell it, but sometimes it's not so wise. Sometimes it's not so wise to tell what God has for you. But one thing for sure, you know that you know. He says he will reveal to you, as you're known by him, he's going to reveal it to you. Whatever he's standing there looking at, you don't know about it yet because you're still looking in that dim, blurred glass, a blurry reflection, trying to figure out what God is saying. He's already revealed it. If he's not totally revealed it, he's in the act or in the motion of revealing it to you. That is the divine promise.
of God, that he's going to let you know who you are. Part of that is when he assigns you a name, by the way, when he assigns you a name. That's part of the identification process or your destiny process right there. And if he doesn't use a dream, he's going to use a name. He will use a name to identify you supernaturally. And so he does give us hints about what our destiny is. And so we just have to pay attention, put our ear to the wall and hear what God is saying when he's speaking. Amen. But I promise one thing to you, that he is speaking. He never stops speaking. Well, I have entitled this broadcast, I've changed it a little bit from yesterday. I'm entitling the broadcast, A Pitfall of Complacency, A Pitfall of Complacency. You know, I was meditating about this today, and it, actually I got the word so clear yesterday after I had to abruptly terminate the broadcast. But, you know, I got this word so clearly, and I began to ask God questions in my heart. I began to meditate and ask him things in my heart, to which, I mean, I just see the scripture so clear here. And I'm still in Genesis chapter 17. But the word that I, the thing that I was asking God about was this: will you let us know when we're settling, when we are rolling or stubbornly staying in complacency? Complacency. You know, I looked it up. I looked up complacency. Let's see, where's my little pad here? I looked up complacency. Because what I want to talk about is that after Abraham and Sarah were blessed, they were still blessed with Ishmael, that son that was from the flesh, from fleshly wisdom rather than God's wisdom, because he had already promised them a son from his flesh, from their own flesh, I'm sorry. But then a mistake was made. Some convenience came in. Now we see, okay, we've gone from convenience to complacency. My God, it's completely, that's another C word, completely opposite of each other. I'm not going to say they're opposite of each other. Actually, one birthed the other. One was a result of the other. Convenience has now brought about complacency. You know, I need to add that to the cycle of patience, you know. I'm going to add that based on this story, you know. Actually, we have the fruit of a failure, a fruit of a mistake. God is going to bless it. He's not his, it's in his permissive will. It's not in his divine, excellent will. He's still going to attach some importance to it and bless the mistake that Abram and Sarah accomplished through having Ishmael. God is still going to be gracious about it. But let me say this. Now we have, and I'm going to start, I said last week, and I started talking about this yesterday, I was going to talk about circumcision. And let me tell you, circumcision, this is my argument about circumcision in this scripture, starting at verse 9 and going on down to verse 15. Maybe I should read it real fast. This is a 30-minute show. And it said, and God said to Abraham, this is verse 9, as for you, you shall keep my covenant, you and your descendants after you throughout their generations. Now, this chapter starts out, chapter 17, verse 1, when Abram was 99 years old, the Lord appeared to Abram and said to him, I am Almighty God. Walk before me and be blameless. And I will make my covenant between me and you, and you will multiply you exceedingly. You see, what God wanted was obedience from Abraham. He was talking to Abraham, from Sarah too, because she found out about it from her husband.
He wanted obedience. He wanted now a covenant. I'm going to argue this, that God in his infinite divine wisdom said, look, I know you're feeling here in your faith. I want a covenant. A covenant is a contract between two parties to do something, and it's enforceable, legally enforceable. So here he says, let's have a covenant. You're not going to mess up anymore. You're not going to do anything else other than what I told you to do. Let's install a covenant here. It's a covenant, all right. It was a covenant of circumcision. The covenant of circumcision. We know that God was not pleased now with Abram sleeping with Hagar and manufacturing this other son of the flesh, Ishmael. And it sends to me a message over and over again that we cannot. When we know God, we know his voice, and we are walking with God, we cannot disobey God. And that's one of the things I was meditating on yesterday, is when we know God, that's what my prayer is. Please help me to know you, God. No mistakes. Let me know you. Let me hear you. Let me send me a sign, if you will. And that's usually the sign. That's the sign of a younger believer. But let me know who you are. Confirm yourself to me. Because I really don't want to make a mistake. I really don't. In any area of my life. Not one mistake in any area of my life. Why? Because I have endured consequences, just as Abraham and Sarah are doing here in this verse of Scripture. They are enduring consequences of that little sleepover that Abraham had with Hagar. Oh, yeah. You're rich? There are consequences. You're poor? There are consequences. You're a man? There are consequences. You're a woman? There are consequences. When you know God and you know what he said was true, my goodness, then you should obey immediately what God said. And time passes. Let me tell you, time that passes will start to erode your faith. I know about that too. It will start to erode your faith in God and what he said. That's what happened to Abraham and Sarah. Well, Abram and Sarah, rather. They started, 10 years had gone by. They probably tried to have children. Nothing happened. Sarah came up, said, Abraham, sleep with my handmaid here so we can have us a surrogate son. And he had already said that in the prior chapter. That was the prior chapter, chapter 15. You shall have a son from your own loins. Well, maybe you say, oh, that's Abram. Abram's going to bear, you know, have be the father. But I'm not going to be the mother. And that was not the case. And God comes back. He did not speak to Abram and, of course, Sarah, that I can tell, for 13 years. 13 years of silence from God. Now, how did you walk all that time? No direction from God. That was a consequence right there. That was a judgment, if you will. God chastises whom he loves. He really does. And when it comes to something as important as a relationship, children, who you going to marry, how many children you going to have, where are you going to be, are you going to be in the ministry, and so forth and so forth. Those are important things to God. And so it's incumbent upon God to give us clear, specific instructions so that we can follow them. If you see here from the text, starting from Genesis 12, my goodness, he started giving them a promise per chapter, having them sacrifice, and then they heard the word of the Lord again. Again, it was repeated. Abram tried to give Sarah away. She comes right back. And so all of the circumstances amounted to one thing, that God was going to have his way no matter what. And I know we walk around, we drive our cars, we go to our jobs, and we go to the grocery store. We do common, normal things, and we think God is not looking. He's not listening. He is not there present to enforce his destinies for us, his respective destinies. But he is. He is there, ready and willing to enforce his destinies. And I can say this. I know how it is to wait and wait and wait on something. To wait on something and wait on something. He said, wait a minute. God made a mistake. This is not what he meant. Something else.
And then, you know, turn your attention to other things, or maybe start working on other things that you believe is the destiny of God. It's very frustrating. But thank goodness for Sarah and Abraham, God, they were obedient, finally, to God's word. Well, here, talking about circumcision, that's what I wanted to say. I'm not yet at a pitfall of complacency, which I have named the show. But right before this pitfall of complacency is a word from the Lord. It starts in verse 9. I'm not going to read the whole thing. Starts off by saying that I want you to enter into a covenant with me to circumcise yourself and all of your descendants and relatives. This is a covenant with me that's a sign that you're complying, is to circumcise your offspring and your even the slaves that come into your house are going to, and should be circumcised. And, you know, I was thinking about circumcision. That's some painful stuff. It's so painful. I've never gone through it. Believe me, I haven't. But what I've heard and read about it, it can be a painful procedure. And so Abraham at this point has to circumcise himself, circumcise Ishmael, and all the servants in his house and all the descendants in his house. I'm thinking even Lot probably had to be circumcised. That is so painful. Do you know that represented the covenant that God had with Abram? But it was a painful one. It was one that cost Abraham something. If you had to circumcise all the males in the house. And notice this. It was a judgment to me, even though it was a covenant-related activity. It was one that involved the males only. The males only. And it involved their sexual prowess, or whatever you want to say. I'm going to say it that way. Because what happened is Abraham, the man, after God talked to him, jumped up and slept with Hagar, which was not God. Let me tell you today, God knows what he's doing. If you are serving the living God, if you are reading your Bible, if you are going to church, if you're giving God offerings and you're saying, God, lead me today, do not depart from what God gave you. If God gave you a certain person in your life that you say, okay, God gave me that person, I see him walking down the street with Tammy. I'm just using that word. You know, that must not be true. Whatever God told you, and you know it's God, and it's hard to tell sometimes because we're seeing in that dim glass, but stick to it because there could be consequences of departing from what God gave you. But I believe once God reveals and solidifies and confirms himself, then it's so dangerous to depart from what he did. But anyway, that's verses 9 through 15. You can read them there in your own time. Just for instance, I'm going to read, and this started from the time a child was 8 days old. How painful. And then somebody had to do it. To me, it was a covenant judgment. I'm going to put it like that. But anyway, I'm going down. I'm talking about complacency today. And in verse 15, it says, then God said to Abraham, as for Sarai, your wife, you shall not call her name Sarai, but Sarah shall be her name, and I will bless her and also give you a son by her. Then I will bless her, and she shall be a mother of nations. Kings of people shall be from her. What I want to get to here is he's talking to Abraham, and Abraham says, then Abraham fell on his face and laughed and said in his heart, shall a child be born to a man who is 100 years old, and shall Sarah, who is 90 years old, bear a child? This is what I'm getting to, verse 18. And Abraham said to God, oh, that Ishmael might live forever before you, might live. And in verse 18, that now you're looking at a model of complacency. What is complacency? I know I've gone all over the place before I started talking about what complacency is. It is a showing, a smug showing, or uncritical satisfaction with oneself or one's achievements. I'm not going to stop there. I'm going on. It's self-congratulatory, self-satisfied. Please often without awareness of some potential danger or defect. Price of disobedience. Oh, that's my note. That's my note there. So what happens is, as a result of this convenient situation, complacency grew out of it. They had Ishmael. They thought he was the best thing since, ice cream and Coca-Cola. And they did not want to go through anymore. They thought that was the destiny that God called them to. Now, why did they think that? Because, they were just tired. Their vision was blurred. They had gotten complacent with what they had. And although God was intent on blessing Ishmael just like he was going to bless Isaac, it was clear that Ishmael was not the promised son of Abraham and Sarah. And so now another danger comes up. It is complacency. Have we ever gotten into the situation where it is, I'm just going to keep what I have, thank you. And then what is convenience? When we get into a situation because it's, readily available, it's right there, you don't have to go through anything to get it. And then here comes complacency, another pitfall of the fulfilling God's promise. Complacency. I have somebody. They're not, all I wanted, but, they'll fit the bill. They'll pass. I have a daughter and son. They're okay. I will do my best with them. I think I can work it out. It's not God. We see here an attitude that came from his heart. It came from his heart. I don't believe he ever voiced it. Let me see. Let me go right to the, he says, oh, that Ishmael. Oh, he said it. He was feeling doubt in his heart in verse 17 of Genesis 17 when he says, then Abraham fell on his face and laughed and said in his heart. He didn't say it out loud at that point. Shall a child be born to a man who is 100 years old? And shall Sarah, who is 90 years old, bear a child? Then he said it out loud. See, out of the abundance of the heart comes the abundance of the heart. I got that turned around, but the scripture I'm talking about. And that's verse 18. It says, Abraham said to God, oh, that Ishmael might live forever. Hello? Didn't that God say in just the prior chapter, did he not say, that's a legal way of saying something. I used to say it. Didn't he say, let me say that, that God was going to bless Sarai from her own loins? No plan. I mean it. I mean it, Abraham. I'm not playing here. And so what happens is now after this covenant circumcision, Abraham is probably thinking at this point, and Sarah, I don't want to go through anymore. We got to circumcise all these children. We got to circumcise all these kids. Ishmael is going to be the baby's kid because, he shall be a wild man. Did you hear how he described him in 16 of Genesis? But in any event, what I'm talking about is complacency. And you have the tag there about complacency. This is something that God has determined. This is his will, but they're trying to settle for Ishmael, which is not God's then divine will at that point. In other words, what I'm saying to you today, if you are absolutely sure of God's will in your life, do not settle for less out of an attitude of complacency. You may have acquired this thing or situation because of convenience. It was easy to get to. It was right there. You didn't have to endure any trials and tests to get it. And as a result, now you're in complacency. Don't come out of complacency and promise God that you will wait on the destiny that he has created for you and called you to before you were born. And he has also called your name and declared it over and over and over again. Let me go to verse 19. It says, then God said, no, no. That means no. No means no. He didn't mean the complacency situation of Ishmael. He said, Sarah, your wife shall bear you. Then God said, no, Sarah, your wife shall bear you a son, and you shall call his name Isaac. I will establish my covenant with him for an everlasting covenant and with his descendants after him. Well, there you have it. God has something in mind for you. He has it in mind for you. And he wants you to have it in mind for you. Amen. Verse 20, it says, and as for Ishmael, I have heard you. This is God's grace now. Behold, I've blessed him and will make him fruitful and will multiply him exceedingly. He shall beget 12 princes and I will make him a great nation. Well, if you compare that to what he called Sarah when he changed her name, he told her that she was going to be the mother of nations. You hear me now? Kings of peoples. That sounds like something I would say. Kings of peoples shall be from her. And that's a lot different than how she was going to be blessed with Ishmael. Amen. I think I'll stop there. I've talked quite a bit today. I'm overflowing from yesterday. I was still flowing when I had to terminate the program. But thank you for listening to the program this evening. I hope that you will go to the show page and listen to this episode again and any other episode on the page at blogtalkradio.com/Brenda K. Sanders. If you wish to email me, you may email me at seeingclearlyinthedark@gmail.com. If you have questions, comments, prayer requests, please feel free to email me. And as always, I promise to respond promptly. Well, thank you again for listening this Monday evening. Thank you again. And I will talk to you next time.
In the morning, I'm blessed throughout the evening, and anytime I pray, a well of joy springing up inside, water of new life, that's Christ. Jesus is Lord. Oh, these eyes keep beholding. These ears are king's machine. The shepherd as he speaks, he must be sheep. To hear him when he calls, to see him when he comes again.
Yeah. A revelation will just come in.
God.